that the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart be acceptable and pleasing unto thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
I think a wonderful tune and a wonderful hymn to lead into the message this morning that comes from the epistle section where Paul is telling the Corinthians, says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you. And then we sing the tune, God of Grace and God of Glory. That is a good hymn to have before us at all the times, because if you look at that, each one of those verses are basically prayers. Prayers of what we are asking and prayers of what we hope in that asking it allows us to do. To change, to do, to work with what God is calling us to do, with the understanding that there are opposing forces or opposing things that wants to pull us aside. Now, sometimes we may ask, well, what does that have to do with God's grace? Because normally when we think of grace, we think of it kind of in a different way, that it is God's reaching out. And we may think of the hymn, Grace, Grace, Marvelous Grace, you know, that talks about the way that God's grace reaches to us and is able to cover a multitude of sins. And we know that that is true, and we know that that can happen. And sometimes we say, though, well, what does grace have to do with us moving forward? We may think that grace is there when we mess up, maybe when we've moved forward too much or in the wrong way, and then that's when we rely on God's grace. But what we need to understand is God's grace is there not just when we mess up, it is, but God's grace goes before us as well, as we are looking out, as we are moving to do what God is calling us to do. And it is God's grace that we can hold on to that can help us fight the temptations of the world. Because that's what I want to look at today, is how does God's grace, and what does God's grace mean in that context? Because it would be impossible in the time we have here to plumb all the avenues of God's grace and the different ways that it acts in our heart. But the ways that God's grace protects us, and if you remember, the college of the day prayed for God's grace to that God would allow us through His grace to withstand temptations, and it mentions three places specifically that we are to ask for us to withstand temptations: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now I know sometimes people who write things can get wordy and can embellish where it could have been much simpler just to say it in a concise way, but I believe the collect today mentions those three things specifically: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Because they are three avenues with which we are attacked. Normally, sometimes, we think erroneously when we say that the devil is tempting us. Now, I guess if we wanted to go back to the root cause and to look, that it was because of the devil's fall that we have sin in the world and that because we are tempted. But not all temptations come from the devil, because that is really giving the devil too much power. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He doesn't have those attributes of God. He is a fallen angel, so he cannot be everywhere at once, even though he is greatly powerful. He doesn't rule the whole world in that sense that he can be everywhere at once. So the temptations that we come from different places. Now, all of them, like I said, have their root cause back to them. Because the first one says, give us grace to withstand the temptations of the world. Those temptations that are around us because we are living in an order that is removed from what it should have been. In the original plan of creation, as God created the world, everything was supposed to work correctly. All the order was supposed to work correctly. But because of sin entering the world, that shifted. And so now when the term the world is used, it doesn't necessarily mean this ball of mass that is orbiting around the sun. It has to do with the worldview that we are faced with every day. And that worldview is, who are we going to follow? Are we going to do and follow the things that God is asking us to do, or are we going to go our own way? And in going our own way, those temptations may come at us, and we may not see a religious side in them at all. It is very possible for people not to follow God, yet not completely understand that they're following the devil as well. They're just walking on their own way. And it is the thought processes, it is that worldview that skews us off of God each and every day. And we have to constantly be reminded and constantly ask for the grace of God to give us the strength to fight the temptations of the world. And it can be so simple and so subtle. A friend of mine and I were talking about it this very week. I dropped my truck off to have some work done. And as things would happen, because this was a very busy week, and I was looking forward to a kind of a lax evening that I could get some work done in preparation for the rest of the week that's coming. Dropped the truck off real early in the morning, 7 o'clock. Figured that's good enough time. I could go to work all day, pick it up when I got off work. Got off work. Not only had they not done some of the work that I asked for, the work they had done was incorrect. And so, after a little conversation, they went back to fix everything that they had messed up, and I ended up getting back to my room at about 9 o'clock. Evening shot. So I'm sitting there, and easily fixing to spin into some type of woe is me. When I look over at a friend of mine the next day and say, you know what? There are people all around the world that may not have a truck. They have bigger things to worry about than what's going on with their vehicle. And we got to talking about how it's easy for us to get into the mentality of looking around what's wrong with us and forgetting the blessings that we have. And that's the world. And we kind of ran the conversation from there. Look at every time in the world today, be it newspaper, TV, radio, advertisers are trying to tell you that what you have is not good enough and you need something better. What you have is not good enough, you need something better. Now, could we look at that and say, well, obviously that's from the devil? Maybe. Maybe. But it is hitting us every day saying we got to do something more, something more, something more, that in the end is nothing but trivial and will pass away. I'm firmly convinced, at least in my own life, I really don't need half of the stuff I've got. Now, is it easy to get rid of it? No, because I still have it. But, well, I really don't need half of the stuff I've got. If we were to listen to that call, we would be wrapped up all the time in things that don't matter, and we would not have time to follow the pursuits of God. So the prayer comes in, give us grace to withstand the temptations of the world. Those simple things. Not the temptations to take over the world, just the temptations of the world. Very quickly, we've got two more. The temptations of the flesh. Now again, the writer is not talking about this enveloping skin. He's talking about that spiritual aspect of us that leads us astray. The carnal vices, if we would. Those temptations that may go beyond the world's view of, I need this, need this, need this, that actually want to step on others to get that and that and that. You know, if we just, going back, picking on the advertisers a little bit, if we were just to listen to them, everybody can own this, why don't we own it as well? Temptations of the flesh tends to go one step further. And it tends to understand that the closer you get to the top, the more narrow that path is. And only one person can be at the top, and that has to be you. And if we're not very careful, it comes along and do everything you can to get to the top, even if it means stepping on others. Again, that message comes at us every single day through almost everything we read, everything we see, and in the workforce can come at us every single day. The strive and the desire to get ahead. Which is not bad. It's not a bad desire to have until we add and get ahead at all costs. And it's a very small step to go over there. And it wouldn't be hard to draw the correlation between how these two work together. Because chances are, where we're at, we're comfortable. But the desire to get ahead
oftentimes it's not really as holy as we want to make it, because really what we want to do to get ahead is just get more stuff, which again is part of the problem. And so we pray for God's grace to cover us for the temptations of the flesh. Now, if you think I'm just letting it off with one, because of time, I only mentioned one of the cardinal vices. I didn't go into all the others. But it's easy to see, again, because of what we see in the world today, that it would be easy to run the pursuits of the flesh until we wear ourselves completely out. And again, if we follow the pursuits of the flesh, it leaves us no time to follow the things of God. And it puts ourselves into a situation where we can't follow the things of God. And then we come to the last one, to withstand the temptations of the devil, the wily serpent. While I don't want to give him more credit than he is due, I don't want to discount him as well. There is someone out there who seeks to devour, who seeks to destroy, and who seeks to kill and to rob us from God. And the thing we have to remember is he does not care about us at all. The temptations may be viewed in such a way that it makes it sound like he cares about us. They may be termed in such a way that it says to give us freedom. They may be termed in such a way to give us more that we want. But what he only wants to do is move us and take us away from God. And once he has us in his camp, he cares no more about us. In fact, you could look. Every one of the temptations that the devil tempts us with are not his. He has only perverted and twisted the things that God has given us, because he does not have the ability to create anything. Look at the people who follow what the world calls freedom. Look at the people who push what the world calls constraints. And ask yourself, are they truly happy? No, they're not. I talk to them every day. I counsel them every day. They're not happy. It may look on the outside that they have everything going for them, but deep down in their heart, they know they're not. And we can only stay ahead of that temptation ever so often. And then it looks for real. And you look at them and you know they don't have everything they want. As the body starts to destroy itself because it's not being used for what God has called it for. Temptations are real. The temptations face us every day. On some side, they can be as simple as wanting to get ahead, and so we have no more time for God, to the other side of being embroiled into a deep, deep sin that removes us from God's presence because of the turning of our heart. Both of them end up in the same way, or in the same place, away from God. So when we think of God's grace, not only think of God's grace in ways of what he does to help us once we fall, but think of the grace that goes before us, that picks us up before we walk on that road, before we step off. The grace that keeps us centered following him. As we pray the words of the collect, even this morning, I would say pray it all week. Every morning, open it up and say that prayer. That God will give us the grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.